That school bell tells us that it is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And you know, the best school that you can be a student in is a Bible school. And the best Bible school is one from which you never graduate. No man will ever be able to say, I no longer need to study the Bible. Because the Bible that we begin learning while we are children provides comfort and assurance and hope and direction all through our lives. I hope to the very end of my life I'll have a mind that is capable of picking up my Bible and reading it and loving God for the things that I have learned from that Bible. Now, in this radio Bible school, we're studying old Sunday school lessons, and this is a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam, or Sunday School Notes, prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday Schools of October the 5th, 1924. And it is a part of a study of the life of Jesus. And this particular lesson is how he chose the 12. The text is found in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. And we're going to continue on with this study, beginning with the notes that Elam made about God's way of securing laborers. Now, before we get into that study, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have a Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look and read a little bit from Elam's notes, and then I'm going to read to you from the Bible itself some of the references that he has encouraged us to read and even to memorize. But it's about God's way of securing laborers, the great and crying need of the church, as well as of the world, is self-sacrificing, consecrated, unselfish, untiring laborers in the field, and true shepherds of God's flock who will lay down their lives for their sheep. The need for laborers such as this was urgent when Jesus was on the earth, but it is nonetheless urgent now. Jesus' way of making elders and preachers then is his way of making them now. Just as his way, the only way of making Christians, is always the same. He raised no objection to proper education and strongly taught that the laborer is worthy of his hire, but his way of securing laborers is not higher education and better pay. He never went to the worldly wise, the highly educated, and the wealthy to select his apostles, and not many such now ever become Christians. Let us commit to memory 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 22, 1 Corinthians 1 verses 26 through 31, 1 Corinthians 1 or 2 verses 1 through 10, and 1 Corinthians 3 verses 8 through 23. If I read those passages to you as I do, you'll appreciate why Elam would encourage us to commit them to memory. I am going to begin by reading 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 through 31. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For seeing that in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom knew not God, it was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. seeing that Jews ask for signs and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews stumbling blocks, to the Gentiles foolishness, but to them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For behold your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God chose the foolish things of the world, that he might put to shame them that are wise. And God chose the weak things of the world, that he might put to shame the things that are strong, and the base things of the world. And the things that are despised did God choose, yea, and the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory before God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us the wisdom from God, and the righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now let me continue reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preachings were not in the persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world, who are coming to naught, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory, which none of the rulers of this world hath known. For if had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which the eye saw not and heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 23. Let no man deceive himself. If any man thinketh that he is wise among you in this world, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he that taketh the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the reasonings of the wise, that they are vain. Wherefore, let no one glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, are things present, are things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. You see, the false teachers and pretended shepherds of Jesus' day asked concerning him, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Let me read that to you from John chapter 7, verses 15 through 18. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus therefore answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but him that sent me. If any man willeth to do his will, he shall know the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. He that speaketh from himself seeketh his own glory, but he that speaketh the glory of him that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. It is as though the people in Jesus' day were saying of Jesus, "What are his college and university degrees? Who licensed him to teach or gave him authority to preach? Not Gamaliel, not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees, not the Herodians. Without leave or license from any ecclesiasticism or degree from any college of the sect of denominations of his time, he preached the will of God open and above board. Paul gave up all of this worldly vanity and worldly acclaim in order to become a Christian and to be a teacher of the gospel of Christ." Jesus' answer to their question was, "My teaching is not mine, but him that sent me." He needed the right to teach from God only. Just so it is today. When one possesses the qualifications which God gives him, which God himself specifies, be sure to learn what these are. One has God's leave to teach and to preach, and God's support in so doing. Let me add this as a personal comment. I spent my life working, my career, earning my living as an engineer, an agricultural engineer. And as I worked, I also labored among the churches. And many times I was called upon to preach, and I did so. And when one of my colleagues found out that I was preaching, he said to me, "Do you have papers?" Well, it's almost like a pedigree dog needing papers, isn't it? My reply to him was, "I have the New Testament." If someone has the New Testament and studies it and learns it and will faithfully proclaim it, then that is all the papers he is going to need. Let me return to Elam's notes. Elam wrote, "Jesus declares that all who will, who purpose and determine to do God's will, not the theories and notions and commandments of men, shall know that his teaching is from God and not from men. This is a most serious charge against all who teach their own speculations and theories and doctrines. That is, they're unwilling to do God's will. The laborers, the elders, the preachers, and the other teachers so greatly needed today are the ones who have willed with all the power of mind and strength and soul to first do and then teach God's will. God knows the hearts of men. Hence, Jesus teaches and exhorts his disciples to pray God to send laborers into his harvest. And all whom God sends are faithful and true, and he sends them in answer to prayer. Like Jesus, these apostles and all of Christ's disciples must accompany their prayers with earnest work and must go on the mission upon which Jesus sends them. It distresses all true disciples of Christ for self constituted censors who work for their own selfish ends in education and travel and position and etc. to point out destitute fields and direct others to work them. But in this, as in all other things, God's thoughts are not man's thoughts, neither are man's ways of increasing the number of laborers God's ways. And no way of God has been any more perverted than this one, especially in the latter years. We need to learn to trust God and to do God's things God's way. And God's church is that great missionary institution that he established to send forth the gospel into all the world. We do not need human organizations to do this, or man-made denominations to do so. They teach their own way And God's church teaches God's way.